Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 5 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 46. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Welcome, Sister J.
Welcome, Sister K.
Week of True Blood.
Yep.
So we are going to be talking about True Blood episode 8, titled Somebody That I Used to Know.
Okay.
And Sister J is going to pick who we talk about first.
Well, let's talk about Andy and Sam and Luna.
Oh.
That whole thing. That was so hilarious, the whole thing. But anyway.
You think?
Yeah. So.
I did not.
I liked it. When we first see them, Andy is taking out Joe Bob because, you know, Sam has cold clocked Joe Bob. And so Andy's arresting him. And Andy's leading him out, calling him butt plug. That was so funny to me. That was hilarious. I love it. So Luna, of course, is arguing.
Again.
About people hunting them down and everything. And she wants to go hunt them down first. And let's go kill all the rednecks first before they get us and stuff. And Sam's trying to tell her, look, you still recovering. You still sick. Get in daggum hospital bed.
So annoying. And she's all snatching the covers and shit.
Oh, she was just gruff, wasn't she?
I'm sick of
just
her.
Just mean.
I'm so sick of Luna.
I am too.
I am. This did not amuse me at all, any of these scenes.
I thought it was funny. So Sam puts her back in the hospital bed, of course, and then he leaves and he's got Kevin guarding her hospital room. And so, you know, when Sam leaves, of course, Kevin's saying, goodbye, Mr. Merlot. And he's saying, goodbye, Kevin. You know, I mean, I like Kevin, though. He's so sweet. Bless his heart.
I like him, too, but I don't like any of these scenes.
Well, okay.
Well, let's get on to it.
Okay.
Stupid-ass Luna.
Yeah.
Gets out of bed all head up, saying she's going to help. She's like, I'm not going to stay here. And then she starts feeling sick. Goes to the mirror because her face starts changing.
Which she threw up, too.
And next thing you know, she stands up and she's Sam.
That was hilarious to me. The only thing I couldn't figure out is how come she spontaneously changed into Sam? Why not Andy?
I know, that's what
or
I
Or why not Joe Bob?
That's what I don't get either.
So I didn't get why she...
And why she's like, I don't know how to change. I don't know how to change back and...
Well, she said, I've been trying to change back, but I can't. So evidently before, when she did it on purpose, she could change back to herself. But because this seemed to be very spontaneous, they didn't give us any indication as to why she even changed.
And why would it be Sam that she changed to?
Yeah. But I tell you, I was flinching when she pulled out them IVs and stuff. Because I'm needle phobic anyway.
I'm tired of her.
Oh, yeah, okay. So she
leaves the hospital room.
But when she leaves the room, Sam is doing a good job, though.
Yeah,
because
he does do a good
because job. He walks just like a girl would. And of course, Kevin's Mr. Merlot, because he's already seen him. And mind your business. Oh, that was hilarious. I was laughing.
Now, that part was all the scenes where Sam Trammell's pretending to be Luna as him.
Yeah.
We're good.
That was so funny.
But I was just annoyed with the whole damn concept premise. I was rolling my eyes.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Came on.
I don't understand why. What was the purpose of her changing? But anyway, so after Luna Sam, you know, walks out of the room. Of course, she goes into a man's hospital room and steals his clothes so she can put on some clothes and you know, get out of there. So we're back at the jail, and Andy is questioning Joe Bob. And, of course, Joe Bob's trying to be all hard and I ain't telling you nothing, you know, and all this stuff. So Andy, you know, tells him, well, hey, leave me alone 5 minutes
Sam,
with him.
Sam does.
Excuse me, Sam does.
Yeah.
And Andy says, that's against the law. But, you know, he's thinking about, like, okay, yeah. So Andy finally leaves the room. And when Sam was starting to take off his clothes, that boy said, I ain't no hobo, and Sam, but neither am I. And he turned into a cobra. Everybody know cobras are poisonous. That's what did it.
Well, I don't think, I mean, he bit him. I don't think he was supposed to be a poisonous snake.
Well, no, but people, the general public, believes that cobras are a poisonous snake. Of course, Sam's not going to be. You know, so that probably added to his fear.
I couldn't tell you if I saw a snake, if it was poisonous or not.
Ooh,
or a cobra or not, or whatever they are.
I could.
But
cobras are bad.
Let's get on. He bites Joe Bob. He's putting his clothes on. Andy's getting some coffee. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting some coffee. And Luna Sam comes in. Where's Sam? Is he here? And Andy's like, what? Who? Huh?
And that was funny to
me. Takes him into the interrogation room,
mm-hmm,
in front of Joe Bob, which I thought was kind of ignorant.
Yeah.
And saying, what happened? How? She's like, I don't know. And I can't change back. And da-da-da, I feel sick. Whatever the hell she's talking about. At this point, I'm not even paying attention. And Andy's talking about, I hate this damn town.
And Joe Bob just sitting there looking at him like, what?
The interesting thing about that was that, what's his name? Sam says, oh, they've got Jessica.
Uh-huh.
Hamby, and I got the address. So he got some information.
He got the information out of him.
And we skipped the part about when we first see Jessica at Merlot's dancing.
Well, we didn't skip that part. We just hadn't got to her yet.
Oh, sorry.
That was going to be the next part because that leads into the last scene with Sam and Andy and them when they rescue her. So,
okay, go ahead. Well, we get to Jessica. She's at Fantasia, not Merlot's.
Yeah,
Fantasia dancing. Apparently, that's the only place they got. And this guy's trying to pick her up, and she's
That's Reggie the redneck. His name's Reggie. That's Reggie the redneck.
And he's trying to pick her up. We don't know that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to pick her up, talking about, my blood is sweet. People have told me it's so good and delicious. She finally says, okay, come on.
Uh-huh.
So we see Hoy getting taken to this cabin. He's talking about, ooh, we're way out here.
Out in the woods.
I don't even know where we are after all that. And all the little redneck gang take him in there and show him Jessica tied up with silver chains,
mm-hmm,
talking about, we got her for you. To ease your broken heart, you can kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica's looking all pitiful and broke down, of course, because she's
poor
being silvered.
Thing.
And Hoyt's looking shocked at first. And when they go to hand him the gun, he looks like he's not going to do nothing. But they kind of talk him into it, and he's like, okay. And they lock him in the room, telling him that they're not going to leave it or open it up.
Well, until, Ray does, yeah.
Yeah, until, it's not going to open it up until...
he take care of her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Hoyt is going... Oh, now this is what made... This is what got me. The Luna part's bad enough, but this is what got me. You already knew Hoyt was not going to be shooting no Jessica.
No.
But here he's sitting there whining some more. But I loved you. Didn't you never love me? Oh, man up.
I was annoyed. I'm like, just shoot
her. Oh, I was so annoyed.
If we can avoid hearing all that shit, just shoot her.
And Jessica was honest with him. She says, you know what? I tried. I even prayed that I would love you again, but it didn't work.
Didn't come back.
Yeah, it didn't come back. So Hoyt points the gun at her forehead. We knew he wasn't going to shoot her.
Yeah.
And then we see Reggie the redneck. All the other rednecks have gone. Reggie's there guarding them, you know. And he's watching that Gator Boy show on his TV. That's what that is.
Okay.
Anyway, and he hears a gunshot. So he runs into the room, of course.
Open the door.
Yeah, he unlocks it and then runs in. Did you get her? And so Hoyt's...
Standing there.
And with his back to him, he says, where's the other guys? And he says, oh, they left. Jessica comes from behind that door and breaks his neck.
Quick. He probably didn't
even
know
talking about. She talking about, there's your milkshake. Because that's what he told her. He said, my blood is as sweet as a milkshake. When he was in Fantasia, see.
Yeah.
Now, I got a little side note. I was cracking up. It just so happened that I didn't... you know, look away from the screen as I usually do, getting snacks or something. When the credits was coming on, you know, the black redneck Tyrese, you know what his name is? His real name?
No.
Oh, you're going to crack. His real name, Tyrese, is played by Johnny Ray Gill. I know he put the Ray in there because otherwise his name is Johnny Gill. Now, Lord. I mean, I was laughing my ass.
You can't help what your parents name.
I know that, but I just thought that was hilarious. Johnny Ray Gill. Johnny Gill playing Tyrese. He looked nothing like Johnny Gill.
Johnny Ray Gill is kind of a country sounding name.
Ain't that the truth? But that's his real name. Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, well, did you find out who the wolf chick is while you looking at credits? What her name is?
No, I didn't.
See, that's what we need to find out.
Hey, I don't care about her.
I was just going to say, you know what? We said it last week, but I just really don't care
about her. I don't care about her.
To go look her name up and where her name's
And especially
to
not after this episode.
I think it's Maria.
And when we get to that, then I'll tell you why. But anyway.
Okay.
So, after Jessica kills them, of course,
Hoyt's like, let's go.
And she said, it's daytime. I can't go nowhere.
And he's like, well, then I'll just leave and go get some help.
Well, he said, well, I don't have my phone. We 100 miles from nowhere. So I'll go get some help. Why did he tell her all she's doing is saying,
well,
thank you, Hoyt.
Because he's mad. He's a little bitch.
He's talking about, fuck yeah.
He's a little bitch. You know
what? Yeah.
I'm sick of fucking Hoyt, too. Luna and Hoyt need to get killed. Now, you know, earlier, I was like, it'd be hard to find someone to be killed off the show.
Oh, yeah.
I need to kill his bitch ass off the show.
Ooh.
I'm sick of Hoyt. Hmm.
He was kind of pitiful.
And all that whining and crap.
He is doing too much whining.
Yeah.
So after Hoyt leaves and everything.
But I'm kind of tired of Jessica, too, because you know what? I mean, they're putting her in situations to be around Hoyt still.
Right.
But she needs to just let him. I mean, she should have never intervened with him and Tara, because that gave him some hope, apparently.
Yeah.
She knew his ass was needy and stalkery, and that just made it worse.
Stalkery.
You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, so a little bit later, Jessica's sitting there, and it's nighttime now. And in bus Sam and Andy and Luna Sam.
Yeah.
And because, you know, Joe Bob gave up the information, and so they're running in. Jessica, you know, you okay? Yeah. And she said something about Hoyt. And
where's Hoyt at? He was supposed to be going to get y'all.
Yeah, and they said, Hoyt, no.
We don't know.
No, we don't know. We ain't seen him. So now she's kind of worried, you know.
But, now, the only interesting part of this whole storyline is, which I still think is bullshit, but I don't want to get back into it, is then Luna starts saying, oh, there's a large woman here.
There's been a woman here.
And Jess is like, well, I don't know.
She's a human woman, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, she's large, eats Cheetos, and drinks Mellow Yellow. And I'm thinking, okay, how do you know all that shit? How can you smell all that shit?
Evidently, it's in the walls.
And back to the whole Sam, Andy thing, all of a sudden being able to smell shit and do stuff. But then, of course, I immediately thought about Maxine Fortenberry.
Of course. That's who you're supposed to think about.
She's the only large woman we've seen lately, except for Bud's girlfriend, but she wasn't that large.
Right. And for all we know, that could be her property.
Yep.
Like in her family or something, but she lives in the town, so for all we know, you know.
Yep.
That could be why there's a sin of her there.
Yep.
Maybe it's her property, so. But yeah, we were definitely supposed to think, oh, maybe it's Maxine Fortenberry, you know. So that's the last we see of them.
And then Luna.
Oh, well, that's right. I forgot.
Getting sick and shit again. And she keeps telling Sam, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Well, now they're back at Sam's place, though.
I don't think we're going to make it. And I'm thinking, good. Yeah. I'm like, well, why all of a sudden is she about to die? She was fine in the hospital. Wasn't even hooked up to IVs. She was hooked up to an IV.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't on a breath machine or nothing. So, I mean, now all of a sudden, she's going to die. He's like, oh, you can make it. Now, that was kind of a weird scene with him talking to himself.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was funny. I thought it was very well done for him because, you know, he's playing both parts, but I thought it was funny. And, of course, then she changes back and throws up. You know. Oh, yeah. It's a little tedious, but, I mean, I didn't mind the scenes because Sam was in the scenes. So, but, yeah, I'm ready for her to be gone.
He likes her annoys me because I'm just ready for her to be gone. And then the last thing we see of Hoyt, he's walking along the road. He says he's lost. A car comes by, a truck. He's like, oh, a friendly face. I've been lost for hours.
Uh-huh.
And next thing you see is somebody pointing a gun at him and him raising his hands up.
Yep, that's it. So who you think's in the
truck? It's obviously somebody he knows.
You think it's Bud?
Some people have said that. Because it's somebody he knows.
Yeah. Because because
he wouldn't have said, oh, a friendly face.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. It's,
I don't know.
I don't know who else
I'll
it could
sure
be.
I'm sure to see what that is about. And then when we talk about the credits, then we can talk about more about that.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so who do we want to talk about
let's
next?
Let's go with...
I'm tired of them fools.
Well, let's go to one of my least favorite parts and we can get it over with, and that's Alcide, JD, and Martha, and that whole thing. Alcide and whatever that woman's name is are having sex. Now, first of all, this daggum scene is way too long.
But... No. The good part about that scene was him being naked.
Alcide don't do nothing for me, so, you know, that didn't faze me one bit.
Good
but all that damn growling and shit, oh, it was so stupid. And then him throwing her on the bed and like...
Halfway across the room.
It's supposed to be like halfway across the room because they're so powerful, and then he jumps on the bed. Oh, hurry up. That's all I was saying. I mean, and I started like...
Take your time,
around.
Baby.
Oh, it was just way too long.
It was
way too long, and... It was totally unnecessary. Oh,
I guess
yeah.
we're trying to.
All
trying
they do
to show is that they're trying to establish a relationship.
All they had to do was show them in the bed. Oh. Be the same difference.
Yeah.
That was just too daggum stupid. Anyway.
Especially since we don't know her damn name.
Hey, well, I don't care about her damn name. But anyway, but now, then it gets real good when they go to the Wolfpack meeting because Alcide get his ass kicked.
He got his ass kicked
two times. First of all, at the Wolfpack meeting, of course, one of the little Wolfpack members, they're introducing, you know, JD and then the challenger, Alcide, you know. And then...
They said they're going to hunt. I mean, they're going to do their hunt.
Well, the thing I found interesting was I forgot about the fact that JD was... Alcide's father... was a pack master in Shreveport.
Yeah.
Well, a former pack master in Shreveport. So they, you know, that's a, some of the people went, you know, like,
whatever.
We don't care. Anyway, and then JD announces that they're going to hunt and kill a human teenager who happens to be a track star at the local university. And the little boy saying, yo, you don't have to do this. My daddy's a councilman. He'll give you anything you want, poor little thing.
I know, that was kind of...
So Alcide says, I'm not hunting no kids. So JD, well, that's a forfeit then. Well, you know what? That's fine. But you know what? We still going to hunt this boy. And he pushes him out. You got a 2-minute head start.
Poor
now, two
thing.
Minutes ain't much.
I wouldn't first.
You know.
Well, I knew that Alcide wasn't going to stand for that. And then they showed Martha looking like, oh, Lord. And that no-name chick, we don't know.
Yeah, whatever her name is.
But they should have just said something besides Alcide, you know, telling him, I'm not going to stand for that. But he clotheslined Alcide.
He's the pack master. They're going to follow him.
Yeah.
He's the pack master, and he been the pack master. That was only there because Alcide challenged him.
Right.
You know. But so then JD, I like this part when he goes to run out after the kid, and Alcide says, you're not doing that. And he pushes JD, and JD, like, it looked like he was thinking in his mind, oh, yeah, I'm glad you did that shit.
Yeah, because I've been itching to knock you out.
Yeah, I've been itching to knock you out. He clocked Alcide, boom, on the ground.
Yeah.
On the ground. Then he went on with this other little troop, you know.
Well, he's hunting the kid.
Hunting the kid.
He catches up with the kid, but before he can chomp him, Alcide come
up. Well, he wasn't going to chomp him.
Yeah, he was going to turn into a wolf and eat him.
Well, probably,
yeah. Or tear him up.
Yeah.
Alcide comes up and stops him and tells the boy to run.
And the boy runs.
Of course. And so they start tussling, but really it wasn't a tussle. It was a beat down.
Alcide got his ass
but
beat
like
down.
But like Alcide said last week, he's on beat. I can't really compete with
well,
that.
Well, but hey, then you should have kept your mouth shut. But anyway, and he goes to get, JD goes to get a rock to bash Alcee's head in. Because Alcee's laying on the ground, half conscious.
Yep.
From that beat down from JD, the old wolf.
Martha comes up and stops it.
And yeah, she pleads with JD. And he says, I don't know why you want to save him. And she says, I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it for the whole pack, including you. Martha tough, though.
Well, they need to show her being more tough than
but
she is.
But she's a she-wolf. In a wolf pack, it don't work that way. So? You must not watch Animal Planet.
What the fuck is Animal Planet?
Because in a
anything?
Real wolf pack.
Oh, Lord.
The only
you
time.
You know what? This is a TV show.
Yeah, but evidently he's trying to make it like a real wolf pack.
They can make it do what they want.
The only time that she-wolf is going to tear up somebody is if they're trying to hurt one of her babies.
Well, he tried to hurt one of her babies and she didn't do it.
Well, but that was a grandbaby.
That's even worse.
Yeah, that is true. But anyway, so, you know, he says. He throws
a
rock down.
Find yourself a new pack.
Yeah, and he tells Alcee, you better find yourself a new pack. And then he says, come on, y'all, and they go on, I guess,
hunting
the kid.
He didn't want to be in the pack anyway.
Yeah, Alcee didn't.
Mm-mm.
So I'm glad he got his ass kicked, though. I am.
I know you and Sarah are happy.
Oh, yeah, I was happy. I said, yeah, hit that fool again. He is always trying to be so holier than thou.
I just wish they would make Martha more tough, though. And even if she wasn't going to take over, mm-hmm. she's the matriarch of the whole thing. They all respect her.
Yeah.
And she could have said from the get-go, hey, we're not doing all that. We're not going back to, he said, we're going back to our.
Well, obviously, she does not feel that way because she's eating up her son from his dead body. So obviously.
That was a ritual.
Yeah, but obviously, she's about tradition. And just like the little announcer said, we're going back to our traditional ways. We're going to hunt and kill.
A human.
Yeah, a human. And so, you know, obviously she is about tradition and stuff. So
well,
she wasn't going to object.
I guess not.
You know, but it seems obvious to me. But she certainly didn't sure. want she certainly she, didn't want him giving that baby girl no V, but she can't stop him
though,
from doing V.
To me, though, what she would have done when she found out he lied and he really was on the V, and then that he was trying to give it to her grandbaby,
mm-hmm.
that she would have done a lot more than she did and let him continue to try to be the master of the pack.
I agree with that.
I think she would have been like, okay, yes, I want to go back to traditional days, but traditional days we were enemies with vampires. I ain't having this shit. No, you can't be trying to. She probably, to me, would be rallying people to say, we don't want you to be the master of the pack because you done gone off left and got hooked on D and all this other crap.
Well, who knows why she don't do that?
I mean,
they don't give us no indication. Like, you know what? We have seen so many inconsistent story writings with this season anyway. So whoever's writing the shit, you know, they're just not being consistent in that
Maybe
way.
Maybe she will coming up, but it just seems like
I doubt it, though.
They need to have somebody step in and go,
hey, wait a minute.
We're not trying to.
Well,
evidently,
that does not happen because, you know, by the previews, no, that does not happen. But anyway, let's go to Jason, Tookie, and the fairies.
Okay.
And, you know, when we left Jason, he was running toward the lightning that he saw up in the sky. And, and of course, Tookie's trying to deplete her little powers and stuff. And so he runs up to her and saying, Tookie, and she turns around just as she's shooting and she shoots him. And she says, oh, no.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? And he says, oh, yeah, I'm fine.
You just got me in the head.
You got me in the head.
Oh, Lord.
Dying laughing. I thought, oh, poor Jason. Oh, man. But anyway.
I like this scene.
I liked it because he was trying to tell her, look, you have a part of mom and dad in you.
Mm-hmm.
And
why would you want to get rid of
that?
Yeah,
why would you want to get rid of that? And besides, whatever you got in you, when we do find out. It will help us find out who killed our parents. And Tookie, you can see her thinking, you know, because she is so self-centered and so selfish, in my opinion, that she don't ever think about shit like that.
I don't think that at all.
Oh, yeah. She's a self-centered bee. Oh, Lord.
But, you know, she does a lot of stuff for other people with all the powers that she's had. And if she wanted to have a normal life and not have to deal with all that crap, fine. Why not? It's her life.
She is self-centered. She has been in every single season. She hadn't
thought of it that way.
In every single season.
Okay,
and as a matter of fact, we already talked about that in our first episode of this season.
I know.
That's the whole reason why Tara's the vamp now.
I disagreed with you on that, too.
No, she's selfish. Anyway, her selfish ass.
Oh, but okay, finally, this is my question. Oh, go ahead.
Well, what's your
my first thing is, did you catch the end of it when they were talking and Jason goes, so what was that thing at the bank?
Oh, because she said
Mike Spencer, and he went, ew.
Yeah.
What was that?
Okay, well, that's because she said when she was whining to Jason, talking about, you know, I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of everybody looking at me like I'm a freak. I'm tired of being able to read people's thoughts and stuff. And I'm tired of having, you know, going to just simply doing normal things like going to the bank and having somebody want to suck your toes. That's what she said.
I didn't hear that part.
Yes, that's what she said. And so then at the end when Jason said, yeah, that thing at the bank, did that really happen? And she said, Mike Spencer. That's the coroner.
Yes.
Mike Spencer, one time by. I had to leave a lady friend.
Yep.
You know. And he went, that's why he went, ew.
Okay. Well, I had missed that line. That's probably why I didn't
that's
get
why.
It. I was like, what the hell?
Well, that was in her whole little whiny rant. So, you know, you probably, your mind just glossed over because,
out.
You know, she got them whiny rants in almost every episode. So, you know, anyway, so then they go back to the little fairyland.
Yep.
And they're questioning Claude and Claudelle and Claude something. His sisters.
All the fairies.
Well, his sisters.
Right.
And they're trying to get information about who killed their parents. And, you know, Claude is still a little bit reluctant, it seems to me, to help her. And I'm thinking, then what the hell did you tell her to come back there for?
I liked when she said, well, you're the one who even told me
about it. So
I need your help.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the sisters said, well, I know how we can maybe help. And Claude was like, you know, like,
be quiet.
And so then I like this part because look, you that did what I probably would have done.
Yeah.
She got loud. It was like, well, hey, if you had a vampire chasing after your ass or killing up your pants, you'd have done the same thing. You know? She started getting loud. He's like, shh. He can't come in here talking about
and he's trying to close the curtains and stuff. You know what though? That is a good point because I probably would have done that too.
I know. See,
I would have got loud.
Got loud, and that's when people be like, "Okay, I hug your ass out to touch." That's too. I like it. I thought that was funny.
That was funny. That was good. Yeah, she did get loud too. And so he says, "Okay, meet me at the bridge where your parents got killed at noon." And, you know, we'll see what we can do. So when she meets them and he's trying to tell her about, you know, the
what they're going
to
do,
the energies in the world. And Einstein was a fairy and all that stuff. And I thought that was funny. She said, Einstein? You know, anyway. So they all form a circle and they're under the bridge or they're kind of to the side of the bridge where their parents were killed. And Sookie goes into a little trance thing so she can see from her mother's point of view. And she's going to, they said, try to connect with your mother because you were the closest to your mother.
Yeah.
And so Sookie is looking at the events as they happen through her mother's eyes initially.
Yes.
And then, of course, she takes over and is looking at things that are happening once.
Well, from her mother's point of view, the vampire's at the bridge. He gets up on the car. He snatches the husband out and kills him.
Kills him.
He goes to snatch her up. But by this point, the view has shifted and we're looking at the mother.
Right.
And so then you realize, and they kind of, I like how they did the sequence.
I do too. Because
they showed her looking at the mother and then they showed her in the group with them, with the fairies.
Yeah.
And licking her lips and going, They kill the mama.
Yep.
And then he's searching for the Band-Aid, and he finds it, and you can see her, and they go back to her face in the group.
I know,
that was
good.
She's like licking her lips like,
And she's smelling.
Yummy.
Like she's smells inhaling.
Good.
Yeah.
And then the Claudine comes in. And says, and at that point, you really can't hear what she's saying, except leave her alone, and then you zap Yeah. You see the zap.
She said, Warlow, leave the girl alone. And she zaps him.
And then Sookie flies out of the little circle they're
and
in.
And falls on the ground.
And they're like, what the hell? So, Sookie, later on, I guess they're at her house, and she's telling Claude what happened, and he's freaking the hell out.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, this was not supposed to happen. This is not good. And Jason's pissed, like, well, shit, we only did this shit because you right. said this was
but
the
what
way.
Claude says is, oh, the elders are not going to be pleased. And Jason's, fuck them elders. That's you the good. One who told us to do this.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And so they try to realize, so Sookie remembers that Claudine said Warlow, the name of the vampire.
Well, Claude is concerned because he said there has never been a fae who made a psychic connection with the vampire. And Sookie said, well, I know because I can't even read their thoughts. So they know something's different
with
in
her.
This case.
Yeah.
Well, in this case. And I don't think it's necessarily with her. I think it's because they were all together amplifying her.
Which because, makes her different
right.
to me.
Well,
because
which made
me,
that connection.
They have done this before, else he wouldn't have known to do it. Mm-hmm. And there is something special with her. So
yeah.
as much as they say she's a half fairy or halfling or whatever,
yeah.
she's got something different.
She's got something different.
That mm-hmm. they haven't really looked into, or at least the younger fairies mm-hmm. don't know about. So...
And I did feel kind of sorry for her in the next scene when she's obviously, you know, just gotten out of the shower. She's got her robe on and she's brushing her hair,
yeah.
Detangling her hair. And she sees this little disturbance in the atmosphere above her. And
looks
she
like
turns,
a little cloud.
Yeah, she turns around and it's an image of Warlow or whatever he is talking about. I'm coming for you. I felt kind of bad for her because there's nothing she can do. She done made a connection with the fool now.
And that's it. That's going to be the issue.
So.
But I was trying to look at the face and see, do I recognize it? And the voice, of course, is so deep you can't
right.
tell who it
but
is. But
it did have teeth, like vampire teeth. So it is a vampire.
We knew it was a vampire.
Well, yeah, but what? There was some speculation that maybe it wasn't even going to be a vampire.
No, it wasn't. Who anyway. Speculated that?
I don't know. There was some,
you making shit
there
up.
There were some comments. Anyway. Okay, let's go to one of the funniest parts of the whole thing. Lafayette and Arlene on them fools. This
well,
was hilarious.
Okay, the first part was good. The last part, again, I was like...
I know. But anyway, Lafayette's driving back home, and I like this part. And he's like kind of looking at his face in the mirror, so he goes to get this... first aid kit, and what falls...
No, he goes to open the... or put down the visor so he can look in the mirror of the visor.
Yeah.
And Jesus's work badge falls out, slips between the seats, and when he goes to get it from between the seats, he sees the first aid kit down there.
Oh,
pulls it up.
Okay.
And so then when he looks in the first aid kit, he sees a vial of V,
yeah.
which he can use to heal his lips, which you know had to be hurting.
Yeah. And they look bad, too.
So he pulls over and starts putting it on there and heals his lips up.
And it healed it all up,
thank
too.
Thank the Lord, because I couldn't look at that shit no more. And so he says, thank you, Jesus, or something. And so then they kind of pan the camera over, and Jesus is sitting there.
With him.
In the seat
yeah.
with him.
That was
and
nice.
He's like, are you fucking real? And Jesus says, does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And holds out his hand so Lafayette mm-hmm. can grab it. I thought that was sweet.
That was sweet.
It's like, if I'm real or not, I'm still with you.
Yeah, see. So
you can have some strength and comfort mm-hmm. in that.
And you know what? I made it work, too, because Lafayette, we got our sassy Lafayette
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Because he pulls up in front of his house, and he sees Holly and Arlene waiting there for him. He's all, oh, Lord. What's this? And so he gets out and he tells him immediately, okay, you bitches, I'm getting ready to go in here and take me a nice long bath and get high and stuff. So they, of course, tell him about, well, can't you help Terry? Terry thinks he's being chased by a smoke monster and stuff. And so Lafayette says, well, what do you want me to do? He's off his meds. And so she says, look, all we want you to do is, you're a medium. Terry knows that. Just make him believe that you've contacted this woman and that she's lifted the curse.
Yeah, she's mm-hmm. and everything's going to be fine.
And I love it when he says, okay,
Well, he turns around.
To be getting paid for this stuff. Yeah,
he turns around to the door and he comes, looks back and he kind of narrows his eyes like, I'm tired of doing this shit for free.
For free.
Y'all going to have to pay me.
And Ali told him, okay, $50. He said, $300. Yeah, but it's the way he said, $300. And then, but I like it. And I copied this down. He says, what does he say? He says, okay, I'm about to slip my ass in the tub and get high as a motherfucker. Enjoys your day. I love Lafayette.
I do too.
Oh, I just love it when they have him back to our beloved Lafayette.
Yeah, I like it too.
That was so good. So the next time we see him now, he got his whole little outfit on. I love this little outfit.
Well, but to me, this is funny because
he looks so good.
It's like, it reminded me of Ghost, first of all.
Yes, it did.
And it made, and what I think they're trying to do is make it look like, because he doesn't really believe that he can do this.
Sometimes,
he knows
yeah.
that he can do something, but I don't think he really believed when he sat down at that table that mm-hmm. he would be able to do anything. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was like, okay, he saw the movie Ghost. Let me just pretend and do all the shit that Whoopi Goldberg did in the movie.
Yeah.
Get the same
That's
kind of
exactly
outfit.
Exactly what it was.
Do the same kind of chanting type stuff.
Yeah.
And see, and you know, and like play this shit off.
And he had a little bracelet that tinkled and
yeah,
he was.
I gotta make this tinkling. $300 and I gotta make it look good.
Exactly. And he says, okay. And he's doing this prayer. Well, first of all, it was hilarious when Terry and Patrick run in and Terry, where's the fire? Where's the fire? She says, honey, there ain't no fire. We just, and they're looking like, what the hell is this? And of course, Lafayette has the table all set and the candles and everything. And they say, blow out that, Patrick said, blow out them candles. So they all blow out the candles. And of course, once Lafayette starts this little seance and stuff, and he's saying, you know, we these are good men's and Terry, and then he kind of opens up one eye and kind of looks at Arlene, and she says under her breath, Patrick. Terry and Patrick, you know. And I'm thinking, Lord. But then when he really does contact her, and her name is Zafira,
yeah.
Then the candles light, instantly light.
Yeah.
And that was when they knew,
some
shit's kicking off. And
he says, she's really here.
Says she's really here for real. And she pissed.
She don't want to forgive none of y'all.
She is mad, and she tells them, look, one of y'all going to have to die. I'll lift this curse, but one of y'all going to have to die. Terry going to have to kill Patrick, or Patrick going to have to kill Terry. One or the other. And then I'll lift the curse. And then, just like that other episode with the witches, then she inhabits his body. This black smoke inhabits his body. And she's did you see his face?
Yes.
That was so good.
He was looking at both of them.
He was looking at both of them, and you could tell she was mad, too. He was mad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick jumps up and runs.
Well, he jumped up and runs when Terry says, uh-oh, one of us going to have to die. And he gets up and runs. I'm thinking, okay.
Because he knows Terry's probably more motivated than him because he's got a family.
Family and everything.
But then I took it like, okay, he might be jumping up and running and trying to go get his gun. Well, he has a gun in his pants, but I mean, I don't know.
No, he was running away from the situation.
Yeah.
He was, because, you know, we've already had a scene where Patrick is remorseful. He's very sorry that he even ordered Terry to do what he did and stuff. But that could be. But anyway, and then once Patrick leaves and stuff, then the candles go out. I thought that was interesting, too. The candles go out, and they all looking like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting.
I was too through. I'm just through with that, too, that storyline as well.
Well, but, you know, until...
Kill him, and let's move.
Damn.
Just go kill him and move on.
You just want to kill up everybody.
I know. But you know what? Because we need to have more time for our people that we like.
That's true.
And I'm tired of these dumbass storylines. They're just trying to make shit up to make it interesting.
Well, now, you know, it's the writers for this season, you know? I mean, anyway, okay, let's go on to Pam and Tara. Oh, this is my favorite part.
This was a good scene.
These were my favorite parts. Okay,
yeah.
We see Tara. She's bartending.
She looked good, too.
Oh, Tara is looking too fine. She got that red outfit on, got red lipstick, got her hair all up.
Pam looked good, too.
Pam looked really good. Pam looks good with her hair up. You know, she's got it up in some updo.
Yeah.
And but Tara had her hair up too, in these like curl. She looked really, really good. And so she's bartending, and in walks Tracy, you know, Tracy's Toads. And Tracy is kind of like a little bigoted.
Well, catty.
Yeah. Yeah.
High school cattiness.
Yeah. And so she really taunts Tara, talking about, ooh, you just like you in high
school. She said, I need a strawberry daiquiri.
She did.
And then after Tara made the drink and gave it to her, she said, I didn't order this.
Mm-hmm.
And Tara's like, you said a strawberry daiquiri.
Yeah. And she said, well, that's okay.
I guess if you don't ever want to fix your mistakes.
You never did fix your mistakes. And Tara, of course, threatens her. She says, look, she says, I could bite you or something like that. It ended with bite you.
She said, you always were uppity in high school. Nothing's changed. I see you always were uppity. And then, well, the first thing she said was when she's like, well, how have you been? And Tara shows her fangs.
Yeah, and she said, that's how.
And it's like, oh, so now you're a member of two minorities.
Ain't that a mess?
And Tara's like, you know what? You was always a bigot or something. Mm-hmm. And that's when it really took off from there. Mm-hmm. They both were trying to do each other in.
Mm-hmm. But when Tara threatens to bite her, then that's when Pam gets over there and she says, Tara, stop it. And then she apologizes and says the drink's on the house. And the girl goes on. She says, well, that's okay. Tara's always been this way. And you know what? I don't really care because I got a four-bedroom house
and a BMW
in the driveway. You know? And then she gets on up and goes, I guess, over there. Now, this is what I want to know. With her little bigoted butt, what you doing in Fantasia anyway?
I don't know.
You know, what's she doing up in there anyway? But be that as it may. So,
well, that's a good question, because was she there just to taunt Tara? Did she know she was there? Or is she there just because she wanted to see what it's about?
See, I can't figure that out.
I don't know. Yeah.
But anyway, so Tara says, I forget what she says, but Pam's telling her, don't get uppity with me. And she's looking at her. Tara gave her this look like, no, you ain't bitch. You know, but anyway. And then the next scene, we see Pam comes to Tara and says, we need to talk about your attitude. And Tara says, well, I got to make this man a margarita first. And she glamours that man. She says, you don't want a margarita. You want this glass of flat beer. And the man said, And he starts drinking that flat beer. Ain't got no
bones on it. And probably somebody else's beer.
Yeah, it looked like somebody else's beer. And yeah, that was gross. But Tara looks, she kind of smiles. She looks like real impressed. So,
well, I don't think she knows about glamouring yet.
Quite yet. She
might
knows
know
what
about
it,
it
is, but
she probably hasn't seen anyone do it.
So Pam takes Tara down into the basement. And here we see Tracy tied up to that carousel, just like when Lafayette was down in the basement.
Yes.
At Fantasia, she's tied up in the carousel. Of course, she's wiggling and screaming, but she got a gag in her mouth. And so Tara's looking like, what? And so Pam
says,
glamours
her. This is for you.
This is for you.
Because after all the shit she was slinging, mm-hmm. I figured she owes you. And Tara's like, oh, well, I thought you were mad.
You were mad.
And Pam was like, well, you don't know me well yet, but my mad face and my happy face are the same thing.
Oh, that was hilarious, though. And then when she's glamoring this Tracy, I was dying laughing.
Yes.
I had to put the words on so I could see. Oh, my God.
You are here to serve Tara so that you're, what'd she say? Your white trash blood can go in her gorgeous.
She said, yo,
ebony mouth.
Your peckerwood blood.
Yes.
Can go into her cocoa something.
Yeah, her gorgeous cocoa mouth.
Cocoa mouth or something like that.
You
I was rolling.
To feed her.
And you will
and
think
be her
every,
slave.
Yeah, and she told her something like, you will be about everything, Tara. You would just, you know, worship her.
Yes.
And stuff. And Tara's just standing there like,
what? This is awesome.
And so then Pam says, there you go. And Pam gets ready to leave. And so Tara takes the gag out of Tracy's mouth. And Tracy is, oh, Tara, I just love
Please
everything about
feed
you.
On
Please
me.
Feed on me. I'm here for you. Oh, man, it is. And Tara's saying, fucking A. And she bites her in the neck, but she's looking at Pam.
Yeah.
And Pam is walking slowly up the set. Pam is looking too good.
Yep.
She was looking too good. That was an excellent scene. That's my favorite scene in the whole thing. That's my favorite. It was just so good. So I really like that. So she's slowly taking care of her baby. You know.
Yeah, she is.
She's just doing it in a different way than what we have seen others do.
Yeah,
see, so
exactly.
You know, but when you think about it, the reason why Bill baby Jessica is because he had children. See, Pam never had children in her real life. See, where Bill really had children in his life before he was a vampire.
Yeah.
So he'd know how to be more nurturing and stuff. You know.
I think Bill is just a more calm person, or...
Well, I don't know. Now, we're going to get to Bill and Eric and the authority.
Okay, let's do that.
And, you know, parts of these scenes are funny and parts are not. But when we visit them in this episode, of course, everybody's coming down from their high. So they're back at the authority, and they all falling off the elevator laughing and everything. And just, you know, having a good time, and Eric is...
He's
following
all sobered
up the
up.
Beer. Yeah, he's sobered up. He's serious, you know. And he's really the only one not celebrating. So as they're coming down from their high, Nora is saying that, you know, Lilith appearing to them is a sign that they're on the right track. So Salome's talking about, yeah, that's right. And she orders Steve Newland to go procure them some humans for food. She says, we're going to need food. So
well,
you go.
Right before that, though. Russell is saying he's born again because he's never thought that Lilith was real. Or wait, he said, I never believed
never
that
believed
would happen.
None of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
But I can say I am born again. And then Nigel's talking about how happy he is because he was able to have a child.
Yeah.
A child after so many years. And at that point, that's when Bill seemed to kind of go, oh, shit, yeah. He ate a child, and he kind of sobered up a little bit.
Yeah, just a teeny.
Just a little bit. And then Nora goes into, we are on God's true path. This means that we're doing the right thing because we saw Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
And then Salome is like, oh, yes, we have a lot to do. So, Steve, go and get us some people. Put them in the cells.
Put them in the holding cells.
And then Nigel's like, oh, and I need a baby. I need a baby. Lilith would like me to have one. So she's like, okay, get him a baby.
Yeah, and a baby for Nigel. Oh, that was awful.
And then Eric is talking about, well, I think I've had enough for one day. I think I'll be leaving. Bill, you coming? And Bill's just sitting there like, nah, I'm going to stay.
And so Eric leaves.
Yeah.
He goes back to his little quarters, you know.
Apparently.
So later on, we see that Nora is in the room with the blood vial, Lilith's blood vial, and she's praying and stuff. And then Eric comes in there, and so she runs to him and hugs him and everything. And
oh, no, you skipped some stuff.
What? No. No,
yeah,
no, no.
We skipped Salome calling Bill to her room.
That was after the Eric scene.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay, go ahead. Do the Eric.
Yeah. Quit interrupting
You're
me.
Wrong, but go ahead.
Hey, quit interrupting me.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
The one time I interrupt you, after a couple weeks ago, you interrupt me every turn.
Well, I'm trying to get to the point where we had a question last episode.
Okay, go.
And we have the answer, if you'll be quiet for a minute. Eric is telling Nora that he's loved her for 600 years. So now we know Eric is older. Because
okay,
we was wondering about that.
I was going to bring that up, too.
Right. Anyway, so Eric's trying to... Eric is trying to persuade Nora that all this is wrong and, you know, feeding on people and the whole sanguinity.
He saw Godric.
Saying he saw Godric.
And Godric says that this is not right.
Right, blah, blah. And, of course, she's telling him, Godric was the truest vampire I've ever known and stuff, but there at the end, he kind of lost his way.
And he was weak.
And weak.
And fuck Godric.
And Eric jumped on her quicker than Spit, quicker than Russell jumped on Roman. And he was choking her. And then he just kind of realized, oop, I'm choking my sister. That's what I think.
Yeah.
But then he just stopped.
Well, choking her ain't gonna do nothing.
Well, that's true. Then after that, we and Eric's eyes was getting watery too. He didn't drop any blood tears yet, but you could tell he was getting real.
Yeah, and she basically just says, you know, Lilith will show you the way. Like, she's forgiving him for his doubt and all that stuff, and that Lilith will show you the way. Yeah. And I think he's feeling sad because he's realizing this bitch is too far gone.
Right. I ain't gonna be able to do it. Yeah.
And if I was him, if Godric came to me again, I'd be like, look, Godric, you go talk to her ass because
You appear to her because, I can't do it. Then, in the next scene, Bill is summoned to Salome's chamber, and she's offering him this woman as a snack, and she got the woman all tied up on the bed. Now, this is my question. I guess she tied her up on the bed rather than just compelling her to sit there and be there because they wanted her wild. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess that's why, because the first thing I thought was, well, why you got to tie the woman up on the bed?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I don't want every person have to glamour everybody that they see.
Well, that's probably true. It probably had something to do, though, with the blood, the quality of the blood.
I don't know.
Anyway.
But, you know, she's pleading, saying, I have a four-month-old daughter.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to her, and please don't do this. And Bill's like, oh, I'm not hungry. And Salome's saying, well, you can't deny Lilith or deny that part of you what you need to do. And he's like, I have birthed children.
I have children.
And she said, oh, well, if you really love those children, you would have made them vampires, so you'd always be with them.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Well, and then he thinks back to 1910, and his daughter, wasn't her name Sarah?
Sarah.
Mm-hmm. And where he had went and found her, apparently, when she's grown and sick and dying. And he appeared to her to see how she, and let, you know, to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to figure out how come he looks so young. And I thought that was kind of a sad scene. She's like, am I in heaven?
I know.
And he's like, no, you're not.
No.
He could have just said yes, you know.
And
so he's saying, she's like, well, how is this possible? How do you look so young? And he tells her, well, I found a way to, you know, prolong life. And she's like, well, I want that. Make me like you. I don't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rotting from the inside out. And so she's just pleading with him. And that was kind of a sad scene.
That was sad.
Mm-hmm. And he's telling her it's a curse. No, I don't want this for you. I can see his point.
I don't. Because, see, if it was such a daggum curse, why are you trying so hard to preserve your life?
What?
I mean, throughout all of this stuff, I mean, he is trying to preserve his life.
Okay, well, I have a theory on that.
You know, okay.
So, he comes back to Salome, and she's telling him he needs to go ahead and do it. The girl is still pleading and hollering, you know, not really hollering, but please don't do it. And it was funny to me when Salome just put her hand over her face and said, shut up. Like, girl, hush now. I almost got him talked into it. You ain't helping nothing. So Bill finally goes and chomps her.
Yep.
You know, because I think, I'll get into what I think later.
And while Bill's chomping on her, Salome's praying to Lilith, thanking her for the food and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then later on, we see them all. They're convened in the boardroom, and you notice Salome's sitting in Roman's spot.
Mm-hmm.
At the head of the table.
Right.
And so she invites Eric and, Bill to sit there to join him at the table. So now the table's all full
of she's saying we have a lot of work to do. We need to figure out how to tear down this mainstream movement that's going on and promote our agenda, basically. And the whole time she's trying to do stuff, Steve Newland and Russell are kind of flirting over to the side. They're just like kind of talking about, oh, we could go to China and we could do, you know, he's just talking to Steve and Steve is just lapping it up.
Mm-hmm.
So Salome kind of intercepts.
That was cute, though.
Russell, can we get on with the getting on? And Russell's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Sugar Plum.
Yeah.
I'm right here listening to everything you say. And it was just so funny the way he did it. I just love him.
I love Russell. I love Russell because he don't get flustered for nothing.
And he just was like, oh, okay,
just so calm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, dear.
But that was funny when him and Steve sitting down at the end of the table flirting and stuff.
That's what I just said.
I'm just saying, that was funny too.
So they're trying to figure out, how can we do this? Maybe, and so then Kibway says, maybe we can back a gang to do, you know, to do some havoc in some different countries. And Bill speaks up and says, True Blood. And they're all looking at him like, what? He's like, well, True Blood's only made in 5 places or 5 factories. We need to bomb the factories, destroy the supply, so the vampires that are mainstream, or the mainstreamers, are forced to feed on humans. And they all look at him and like, ooh. And Eric's looking at Bill like, what the fuck are you saying?
All the rest of them got, ooh,
ooh,
and
that's
Roslyn,
a good idea.
Roslyn, ooh, I like it. And Kipway, he is smiling and shaking his head like, you know. I like this,
and
though,
so,
when Eric says,
What are you doing? And Bill says, evolving.
That's right.
Because you know Bill's,
That's what I'm saying. Okay.
But, okay.
So what's your theory?
My theory is Bill is playing this.
Okay.
That's my theory. Bill is not really wanting to not mainstream. I mean, he prefers human blood. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't think that he's totally turned himself into this.
Oh, so he's going along.
So I think he's going along with it to get their trust. And to me, when he said, let's bomb these factories, it made me think, okay, he's going to set it up to where each of them go to a different place. And he's going to set it up where something happens and they get bombed up with it.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
And that's my theory. I don't know if it's going to be correct. But I feel like Bill is setting this up to where he can take out each of these chancellors and, like, kill this movement from the top down, and that's the way to do it. Because I really don't feel like he wants this to happen. He doesn't want all humans to be killed. You could tell that by when she was offering him that girl, he did not want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
She talked him into it. I mean, a lot of times he's talked into doing shit all the time. When he was first changed by Lorena, she talked him into being this evil, mean vampire that was just killing up.
That is a good point.
He didn't like that, and he eventually went into it.
Mm-hmm.
He got caught up in it, but then he eventually stopped and went into this mainstreaming thing. When he was punished for killing whoever he killed the first season, I can't remember, another vampire. Oh, and he killed I think it was those other vamps.
Yeah.
And they caught him and they made him change Jessica. He didn't want to do it.
That's true.
And he was forced to do it. So in this instance, I feel like he didn't want to really eat that girl, but he was kind of forced to. He doesn't really want to tear up this mainstream movement, but he's kind of being forced to. And I think he's going to play it to where he can survive, because, of course, he wants
obviously
to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But kill up all them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true or not.
But that's what I mean by when he's telling his daughter it's a curse, then why are you trying so hard to preserve your cursed life? Why wouldn't you want it to be over with?
He doesn't want that for her. Mm. He doesn't want her to have that struggle that he has and the pain that he's had to see everyone. I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like that's maybe his motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, to me, he could tell Eric, but I think he's worried that Eric's going to say something because he's so close to Nora.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why he doesn't want to say anything. But I don't know. That's just a thought. I don't know if it's if it's going to.
Well, I mean, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Bill is, like we say, shifty. He's shady at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think he wants to really go all the way back to where he was at.
It could be. It could be he's just going along to get along. Yeah. Yeah. It could be.
It could be. I don't know.
Because we know he is shifty. And he will change shit. Just like I was sitting there thinking, just like when they put Russell in that cement, they was working together. And then all of a sudden he turned on Eric.
Yeah.
See? and was going to cement him in, too, mm-hmm. had Pam not gotten to him.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Which brings up an issue I just thought of.
What?
Because, you know, Pam got Eric out of that cement pretty quickly. So was Salome still around there looking?
Well, she must have been, because she said she followed him.
So she saw Bill push Eric in that tomb thing.
But this is my thing, okay? How long has it been since... because I couldn't think back. I was trying to think. How long was it from when they buried Eric, or when they buried Russell... We skipped, that was season 3, right? They buried Russell season 3.
It's been at least a year and a
half. Season 4, Sookie went to Fairyland, was gone for 8, 9, 10 months.
No, a year and a half. That's what Jason said.
That's right,
said.
You said. A year and a half.
So Russell been in there at least a year and a half.
She didn't dig his ass up right away.
No, she didn't.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, but she told them that. She said that she followed y'all.
She followed them the night that they buried him.
But when she realized that Roman was going the opposite direction,
right.
She needed someone that she believed was powerful enough to take him out. Because right. She couldn't do it.
Right. So
that's when she dug him up.
Right. So that means she just waited.
She waited.
Until she needed, you know, until she realized
needed
about
it.
Roman.
Right. But she knew where he was.
Mm-hmm. So he was in there for a good year and a half.
Year and a half. That's why he was so emaciated when they got him out, see? Mm-hmm. So.
I'd be like, bitch, why you had to wait a whole year and a half?
Well, you know. Well, but you know what? He probably was just grateful that she dug him up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, a person who dug my ass up, and they believe what I believe, gorging on humans.
Yeah.
Using them for food.
Well, but they believe in Lilith and he doesn't.
Well, no, but I mean...
Now, Russell, to me, is
he
really
do that.
Playing it off.
Oh, he's playing it off. He don't believe that shit.
He don't believe he none don't, of that
But
mess.
You know what? Russell is the master of getting along to get further along.
Right.
Oh, he'll use your ass in a minute.
Yeah.
But we also know Bill's that way, too.
Yep.
See?
Mm-hmm.
See? So... Mm. That was a good episode, though.
That was good.
I enjoyed it.
Well, it was mostly good. Half of it I could have left.
Well,
half
yeah. That Alcide shit, you know.
Yes.
I did enjoy watching Alcide get beat down, though.
Yeah. You're too ignorant.
Woo! Okay. What we got today?
Okay. So, we have some email.
Okie dokie.
We didn't have any iTunes reviews this week.
Okay.
Because, we, you know, this is a short week from us.
That's true.
So, okay, our first email is from Shalita.
Hey, Shalita.
She says, hey, sisters. I'm not sure what to say about episode 8. I'm not sure where they're going with the vampire storyline, but Stephen Moyer did a great job directing.
He did.
Things I liked. My sassy Lala is back.
That's right.
He just needed to connect with Jesus one more time to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
Love the scenes between him. Between him, Arlene, and Holly. And that punk Patrick ran away. He needs to die. Go get him, Terry. So this stupid Ifrit storyline can be finished. I agree. Though seriously, who is working at Malott's? Sam is off being Scooby-Doo.
There you go.
Big John is in the kitchen by himself since Lala and Terry are MIA. None of the regular waitresses are there. Is mm-hmm. it even open?
Yeah, because Sookie ain't working.
She sure ain't.
She in Fairyland all the time.
Well, they have other waitresses and stuff, because they don't work all the time.
That's true. But the thought did occur to me. Jessica ain't working?
She ain't been there for a while,
I don't think. Yeah, ever since she's been in charge of the mansion.
She don't need to work.
She's living like a queen.
Right. Well, your daddy's king. You don't need to work. I love Tara and Pam. That scene was so good because you know Tara was about to jack that racist bitch up in public.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pam is being a good mommy because that chick was stupid. You insulted and disrespected Tara when she was human. But now that she is vampire and could kill you quite easily, you still do the same shit?
Mm-hmm.
Of course she was asking to be a blood bag. Sam Trammell for all the awards. He is so good.
Yep.
Him doing Luna doing Sam was fantastic. And I'm glad Hoyt didn't kill Jessica, but those dudes are going to so kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I know you probably didn't like it, Sister J, but Dan was all seed working it.
Oh, hell no.
All up in everything. Finally, we got some hot werewolf sex.
Lord.
Thank you very much. At least he knew he was going to lose, but that JD is going to destroy that pack. Mm-hmm. Russell and Steve move in next week. You know that ain't going to end well for the pack. But I think Russell and Steve are my new favorite couple.
Yep.
They were hilarious. Ride that pony.
Yeah, I know.
Now, on to the other two storylines. So, it wasn't Bill who killed the Stackhouse parents. Dang, I really wanted it to be. But who the heck is Warlow, and how did Claudine know his name?
Uh-huh.
Personally, I think he was a fairy-turned-vampire. At least that's my theory. Some folks on Get Glue think it was Roman, and now his ghost is appearing to Sookie. Did love that part where she accidentally shoots Jason with her lights, and he's like, it's okay, you got me in the head. Laugh out loud. Jason always cracks me up. Now the authority. My poor Eric. He's the only sane one in the joint.
Yep.
He's going to have to kill his sister. I think he realizes that. See, I think that too.
Yeah.
That's what those tears were.
Yeah.
He's thinking, oh, this bitch is gone.
Yeah,
and
he's going to have to kill her.
I'm going to have to kill her. She's too far gone. Roman may have been too far to the one side of the spectrum, but openly attacking humans is not going to end well for the vampires. Humans have their hands on nuclear weapons and whatnot. Like the governments are going to take this lion down. This is so not going to end well. Just don't hurt my favorite vampire family, Eric, Pam, and Tara.
Yep.
Jess can live too, and Russell and Steve. The rest of them can go. That's all I can think of for now. Looking forward to this giant podcast y'all are going to have for episode 7 and 8. Until next time, Shalita.
Thank you, Shalita, for that email.
Thank you,
yeah,
Shalita.
Those are some very good comments. I agree, too. My favorite vampire family is Eric, Pam, and Tara.
Tara.
Yeah.
I like all the vampires. Well, I like Bill.
Russell.
And Russell.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I like the Russell and Steve Newland
thing. That is so cute, though.
It's funny.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. He gonna be the new Talbot.
Yeah. Well, like Russell said on, the episode before, hold up. You don't get out everything right up front.
There you go.
So, he might make him laugh away a little bit. Okay, our next email is from Monica.
Hey, Monica.
First of all, last time we spoke, you were questioning my blackness. I'm still laughing. You are a mess for that. I only thought Kidway was Candyman for a second when I tried to place him. Laugh out loud. Anyway, let me get to the episode. Hey, sorry, Monica.
Sorry, Monica,
but you know,
Tony Todd don't look nothing like Kidway.
No.
Dang.
But that was funny.
That was funny.
The only reason I like when people skinwalk as Sam is that we get to see what a good actor Sam Trammell is.
That's true.
He was great playing Tommy, playing Sam, and perfectly unsettling playing Luna, not trying too hard to be Sam.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best. I hope he never dies.
Mm-hmm.
Luna can still die. Emma will be in good hands. Never thought I would say this, but I love Martha. She is disturbingly intense, but she's awesome.
Yep.
She will probably be Packmaster, huh? See, I wish they would let her be the pack, or she would fight JD to be Packmaster.
I don't know.
And even if it doesn't happen in Wolf hierarchy, Sister J, that would be a better story. Of course, the one dude would have to be on V while fighting Alcide, because come on, there is no contest.
Yep.
JD has definitely seen better days. He's a mess. I'm still mad at him for offering baby Emma V last week.
I know.
Not that I was a fan anyway. He can also die.
Mm-hmm.
I think the honeymoon is over between Eric and Bill. The scene last week of Bill on Eric's shoulders while the vamps were all tripping balls on Lilith was hilarious. Except pedophile vampire.
I know.
That remains unsettling, and that dude can die.
Yep.
Or should I say, meet the true death. Gross. With his melted ass face. Anyway, I know Eric is going to try to de-brainwash Nora, but will he even bother with Bill? I hope they're not over. I like when they're friends, but I don't see Eric thinking Bill is worth saving. Pam and Tara have such I don't know.
I disagree there.
Yeah, Eric seems to, be concerned about Bill.
Yeah. And I
falling
think
into them.
So Eric knows Bill well enough to know that Bill is going to protect his ass. So when he said, what you doing? He said, evolving. I think Eric is peeping out. Okay, yeah, this is how he's going to preserve himself. But Eric has to figure out for himself what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Are you going to fall on in with it too, just for the time being? Or what you going to do? Because they're looking at him too.
Yeah.
I mean, for right now, they're not pushing him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at some point, he's going to have to do something.
And yet, Bill did, you know, that scene where Eric leaves early,
yeah,
and they all look at Bill, and Bill's like, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come to a point when Bill's going to have to defend Eric.
Yeah, I think so too.
With the authority. So.
I think so too.
Let's see. Pam and Tara have such promise. I knew Pam was setting that evil Tara tormenting racist bitch up. It was a little bit obvious, but I'll take what I can get when it comes to those two becoming a true team.
Mm-hmm.
I knew last week when Pam didn't step in with Letty Mae that she would have her back the next time.
Yep.
I don't care enough about the Terry storyline to end the email with poor Terry. Instead, I'll say poor Hoyt. Maxine Fortenberry is behind this malicious shit. As soon as I heard Big Cheeto Eating Woman, I knew it had to be her. And now she done kidnapped her son at gunpoint.
I don't think
we haven't
so.
Seen her in a while, so I'm pretty sure it's her. Oh, that's not her in the truck.
No, that's not her.
That is not. Because
he would have said, Mama.
What you doing out here?
Yeah.
That's not Maxine in the truck.
Or he would have just said, ooh, Mama, I'm glad to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not say, ooh, a friendly face, referring to his mama.
No. He's tired of her, too.
Yeah. So, it's not her.
No.
They just want you to think. Now,
well,
like I said,
but it's her. Something.
It might have been her house. Or
yeah,
she was there or something.
Something.
Yeah.
That's all I really have to say. So until next week, excuse me, your black friend with the center part afro,
oh, Lord.
Monica.
Ah! Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Monica. And she sends us a picture.
With the center part afro.
It looks,
oh, Lord.
Well, but to me, that's not an afro.
Yeah, but that's not a center part like Tara had on that damn show.
And you know what?
And your hair is a lot.
It's not an afro.
Yeah, it's just like loose
to
curly.
To me, an afro is like about, 2 inches? And, you know, anything between inch to 2 inches.
No, there's 4 or 5 inch afros. Oh, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's not. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't either.
The center part afro to me is not what you have, Monica.
No, that's not what you have. And that looks nothing like what Tara had in that last
that's
season.
That's a nice picture.
Yeah, that's a nice picture, Monica. You look very good.
Yeah. So, anyway, and speaking of hair, can we get on a tangent real quick?
Uh-oh. What is it?
I am so... Okay, let me just say this. Women, all women, and especially women of color... Can we stop, and I know I'm guilty of this, so I'm a hypocrite when it comes to this a little bit.
What?
Can we stop talking about little bitty Gabby Douglas's hair?
Oh, hell.
And what it should look like, does look like.
Oh, hell,
whatever.
Yeah.
This is a 16-year-old child.
That baby just won gold.
And the all-around that hasn't happened in a while, and never for an African-American
never.
Person. And we all sit here and talk shit about the little girl's hair.
Well, first of all...
That's just awful.
First of all these Gabby Douglas haters, they probably sitting around with their hair all weaved up or braided up with extensions and shit. All that hair is that baby's hair.
She it doesn't matter if it's her hair.
The point is, it's her natural hair.
If she's got a weave, if she's got a perm or whatever, we need to quit talking about the little girl's hair and talk about what she has accomplished.
That's right.
And then I start thinking, you know, we should really not be focusing on the hair.
No.
We did that on Fringe with Astrid's hair one season.
Yeah, but you know what?
We did that with Tara's hair in a season.
Hey, but you
and
know what?
I started thinking, you know, maybe I'm perpetuating this shit.
Oh, hell no.
I wasn't talking about no 16-year-old little
exactly.
girl.
Exactly. Well, and plus.
And we're really, well, just as a little excuse here, justification. We're talking about how some of these directors.
Who are all white.
Are interpreting black hair.
about these actors' hair on a TV show has so far removed from talking about a 16-year-old girl who just won a gold medal in the all-around. That's never happened before for a person of color, let alone black, Latina, any a person of color, period. You know, and you're going to focus on the baby's hair. That is totally different when we talk about the shit they did to Astrid's hair in France. That was shitty. And with Tara's hair, that scene she come down with that damn part in her afro. That was some white person did that shit. And Lafayette, a grown ass fucking man with beads in his hair like Criss Cross.
Mohawk beads.
Yeah. Hell no. That was white people's interpretation of whoever's doing that wardrobe shit on these shows. That's their interpretation. Yep. And we know it ain't got nothing to do with no black person. Because a black person would have known that shit.
All I'm saying is we need to quit
it's not the same thing. That.
And it's not anybody else but us.
Yeah.
Criticizing this little girl's hair.
Yeah.
And that's the part that hurts me the most about it. Because we as black women, black culture, black whoever, people of color, period, should support each other. And I'm tired of hearing all these damn articles and stories and people talking shit on this little baby girl's hair, and they need to get a gosh darn life. I'm just sick of it.
Yeah. Oh, believe me. When I first heard about it, I was too through.
It's anyone's right to do their hair any way they want to do it.
I could not believe that's what people were putting on Twitter and shit.
If they want to protest some shit, let's protest the fact that they ain't shown half the people who've won awards on the fucking TV.
Yeah.
On NBC.
All they show is the goddamn swimming.
They didn't even show the black boy who won the swimming, got second place. I ain't seen that shit yet. I had to read about that.
And I had to read about the fact that Serena Williams won the Olympic gold in tennis, singles in tennis. But yet and still, we're going to watch that Roger Federer, his tennis match this morning. What the hell's up with that?
They were showing Venus, but they didn't show, or not Venus, Serena. They didn't show the doubles with Venus and Serena.
No, they didn't.
I never saw that.
Never.
On NBC,
I tell you, NBC's whack.
So let's talk about some real shit and quit talking about some bullshit.
And let's talk about them damn thong outfits the water polo people got. Who the hell want to see water polo?
Somebody.
Water volleyball.
Well, to me, I'm like, why are we focusing on this shit? You can't show all the stuff that people. You've been talking about swimming for a whole week.
Yeah.
And the last swimming race where that Colin Jones won ain't nowhere to be found. But then they're going to turn around and show some fucking trampoline. What the hell?
And I could not believe there was like thousands and thousands of people on Twitter and Get Glue talking about, ooh, finally track. Finally something else.
Well, they have a schedule.
Shit.
But the point is they're not showing everything.
No, they're not.
And that's the part that pisses me off.
They're not showing very much at all.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Anyway, so I had to get off. I had to. Ooh, that child is not a skinny mini witch.
All right. Shit. All right. You just got through ranting about talking about somebody's hair, and now you're going to talk. You gonna talk about somebody's size on this water polo, water volleyball swim team. That was a healthy girl. Woo, Lord. Oh, my God. Okay, y'all. Wait, we need to compose ourselves. We gonna take a break for just a minute. Oh, my God.
Oh, so sorry, y'all. Yeah, that was wrong of me.
I was wrong.
Back to my awful talking about people, so.
Oh, anyway, okay.
We have the Olympics on TV while we doing the podcast. We don't miss anything. And this girl, sorry, lady, she's still in better shape than me. I'm not talking shit on her. I'm just saying she wasn't the normal body type that is on that TV.
That's playing water volleyball.
It's hey, polo.
Water polo. The only objection I got is how come these women got to wear thong swimsuits? So every time they get out, you see in their ass.
It's not when they get out because you don't never see them getting out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's when they show them underwater.
Ooh, that's a big child. Is that a black girl?
That's a black girl.
A big black girl is swimming. You go, girl.
No, okay, that's another thing. Black people do swim, Sister J. You are just the exception. Black people do swim.
I know they do. I know they do. But
and swim well.
Okay, well, let's go on back with our males.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Sorry,
from that tangent.
Sorry. Okay, you were reading, were you finished?
Monica.
Were you finished with Monica's email?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're done.
Thank you, Monica. Woo. See what you started, Monica, with that picture? Mm. But your picture looked good, though, girl.
Yeah, I like it. Actually, I like your hair.
Yeah, it looks very pretty.
I'm just saying we need to quit the criticizing.
Yeah.
And that goes for me, too. I can admit I've done it, too. So I'm going to try to stop.
All right.
It's going to be hard. Woo. Okay.
That's awful.
Our next email is from Rainbow.
Hey, Rainbow.
Okay. She says, hey, super sweet sisters. I could barely contain myself while listening to your last podcast about episode 7 titled In the Beginning. In between all the laughter you two brought me, I was also amazed that no one mentioned the fact that Lafayette was like a lamb, slyly going to his own slaughter.
Yep.
He didn't even try to fight back besides spitting in Grandpa's face. I was secretly hoping the whole time that the Brujo would come out and they'd battle. Was Lafayette wanting to die? What do y'all think? I felt it was really, it was a really pathetic showing on Lala's part.
Mm.
I thought he was going there to save Jesus, but it was not mentioned.
Mm.
And on to the hate group issue. I'm brown and from Texas and have had a gun. Excuse me. Let me start over. I am brown and from Texas and have had a shotgun pointed at me by a racist.
Mm.
I'm thinking that in this fictional world, yes, it's a J, fictional, the writers are making a point that blacks and whites can come together based on their mutual hate of a larger enemy.
Mm.
Even though it doesn't really resemble anything I've seen, it gives me hope in a weird, freaky way.
Mm.
Love you, girls. Rainbow.
Thank you, Rainbow, for that
Thank
email.
Thank you, Rainbow.
Well,
first of all, sorry you've had a gun pointed at you.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Awful.
But in my opinion, just like the hair issue, this is some white folk bullshit. You know? Because I'm telling you, there's not no black members of no redneck hate group. They're just not. No.
Excuse me.
Now, like in a sci-fi movie, if some aliens come down and they trying to use everybody for food, oh, I'm sure a whole bunch of people band together then, but that's not going to happen.
Oh, Lord, Sister J.
Anyway, okay.
I don't know. I feel like if it's, I don't know. I kind of see what she's saying. I think last week I kind of had that same theory that if they're both trying to hate something else, it's possible.
Well, I found it ridiculous, and I don't like it. I think they call themselves trying to be PC, correct, and be diverse, and it's stupid.
Excuse me.
In that instance, it's stupid.
Okay, moving on. Our next email is from MK.
Hey, MK.
He says, perhaps it's my nurse's mind leading me in this direction, but I must ask, if a single Band-Aid with a drop of Sookie's blood on it is responsible for the death of her parents, why does an all-natural of hell break loose when she gets her period? Just wondering, sisters.
Hey, now that's a hey, but you know what? That's a good idea. That is a good observation.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, yeah, wouldn't that bring Warlow or whatever his name
okay,
is?
Okay, well, but you know, we have to assume that back then there were vampires walking around close to them, and maybe it's just this particular vampire could smell it from that distance saying, hey, that smells really good. Because I can't imagine that there wouldn't have been another time when she got cut or hurt and another vampire wouldn't have been in the vicinity.
Yeah.
So it has to have something to do with this vampire being extra strong or extra something.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Otherwise, she probably would have had all kind of people trying to snatch her up.
And it seems to me, based upon what Bill was saying and stuff, when he finally had to confess to her, yeah, I knew you were Faye and this, that, and the other. And that is that even though vampires know about Fays and their blood is extra sweet, but not all vampires have tasted a Fay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like maybe they all know about it, but they haven't bitten a person who was Fay. Therefore, that's what I'm thinking anyway. But this Warlow obviously had.
I don't know.
Claudine knew him.
She knew him.
Yeah. So, that's a good point.
Interesting. We'll have to see. Okay, and our next email is from Jasmine.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hey, sisters. This episode had me a little speechless. I always knew Bill was a little shady, but he's completely lost his mind now. I wonder whose blood they really drank, because I think I remember Roman saying that it wasn't really Lilith's blood in that case.
That's what he said.
I hope they don't kill Eric, because he's the only one who keeps questioning everything.
Yep.
He really needed to, he needed to pay more attention to Bill's sneaky skills. I thought that it was interesting to see that Bill did see his daughter again. I know that he had a moral dilemma about turning her, but since his human life was taken, he could have at least had a chance to be a father to her.
Yep.
You know what he could have done, too, I just thought of? He could have just let her drink his blood, and that would have healed her.
That would have healed her. He didn't even do that.
Well, we don't know. We didn't see the rest of it, but...
Well, I don't think he did it.
Yeah, I don't think so, either. I would say that I truly enjoyed the sex scene between Alcide and that she-wolf, but it turned into Animal Kingdom with all that growling and...
Thank you!
I almost expected Alcide to bite the hell out of her, because we know that wolves like to eat each other. My favorite line of the episode, by far, comes from Lala. I'm in the fuck off while I smoke a blunt business, and business about to pick the fuck up.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
His character is one of the realest characters on the show, because that's exactly what I would say if I lived in Bon Ton. I'm really glad that he didn't lose his demon. It might be the only thing that keeps him alive with the vampire war coming.
Oh, now that's an idea.
Yeah. I agree with y'all that I don't really see where the Ifrit storyline with Terry and Arlene ties into everything else. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I guess we have to see them doing something besides getting possessed or something.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm starting to really enjoy Sookie's plotline. I really want to know who this Warlow is. At first, I thought it was Bill or Eric because Sookie was able to connect to Warlow, but when I watched it again, it kind of looks like Russell. Mm-hmm. I also wonder who the Fairy King or their leader is. Hopefully, after the whole creepy face coming out of thin air at Sookie, we'll find out more in the next episode.
Yep.
Jasmine.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you, Jasmine.
For that email. And yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. At first, I thought it was Bill, too. I never did think it was Eric, but I thought it was Bill because Bill already knew about her. But I could see where it could possibly be Russell. However, Russell's occupied with the authority, so it's not him.
I don't think it's Russell either.
Yeah, I don't think it's Russell. I think
because if it was, he would have been, when they first met, he wouldn't have been as surprised by
exactly
anything.
Because he, when she was reminiscing and feeling sorry for herself about, you know, her abilities and stuff and contemplating whether she wanted to deplete them, and she was thinking back to all the different people that made comments about her, then she went back to that scene where she was sitting in Russell's den, King Russell's den, talking to him, and he says, but what are you? And she says, I don't know what I am.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't know either. Okay.
That was it. That's all the email we have for this week.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Nice and short. And
yeah,
sweet.
Thank you everyone for sending us your feedback, and you know, we sorry we kind of late, but hey.
Yeah.
It was just this week.
Hopefully it's this week.
Yeah, our little schedules get kind of, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm getting sick again.
I know.
I hope not.
I hope not either.
I can't talk.
Because that's going to really put us way behind. But anyway, because you do all the technical stuff.
Yeah, but it just makes it, the worst part is not being able to talk.
Well, I may have to read the emails next time then. I hope not.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe I'll be sick, so Sister Jay can do some of the leg work. Now, I will say, Sister J is going to be deciding.
Yes.
On
I'm the deciding
contest.
Factor.
So she doesn't have that done yet. So we were going to postpone again our announcement for the feedback contest, but we will tell that on the next podcast this
yep.
week.
Yep.
So just stay tuned.
We won't be late this week.
We still have four episodes to go. Mm-hmm. So we have plenty of time to get that contest in and a prize out and everything.
So I'll tell you what the contest is and what your prize, winning prize will be. But I can say that the way we're going to do it is whatever I decide, that all of the people who have the correct answer will go into a little bowl and will randomly pick. Sister K will randomly pick the winner.
So you're going to have a question.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It will be. I've decided that trivia is the best little thing to do. So it's going to be a trivia.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be a trivia. But it's going to be a good one.
Perfect.
Alrighty.
Okay, so until then, send us your feedback at sisterspeak@gmail.com. You can go to our website at sisterspeakpodcast.com or Facebook at facebook.com/sisterspeakpodcast. And we are also on Twitter @_SisterJ and _SisterK and @SisterspeakCast. That's it for now.
Okay.
I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.